Amen. You may be seated.
He's so good. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Oh, he's faithful.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Praise God. We are redeemed.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you what. You know, this building, obviously, just in even in the natural, is going to make waves in this area because they haven't seen anything like this in a while, right? And it's going to, what it's going to do is it's going to show people one of the things that the Spirit of God told me early on about the growth being small from the town itself. Because really, we don't have a whole lot of people from South Dayton. And one of the reasons the Spirit of God said is people will latch on once they realize you're legit. And it's not just some thing that stopped in the town. When they see there's a building going up and we're filling it, I'll tell you what, and they start to hear the testimonies and the miracles and the signs and wonders, it's going to fill up. Praise God. So, hallelujah. So, oh, glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we're going to go forward in the series now. I don't know. It's been hard to do it, but we've been interrupted by the Holy Ghost and by just having travel and different things, but we have lots of time, right? I don't plan on checking out for a while.
Praise God.
Not until Jesus comes back anyways. Praise God, Lord. Or I'm old. Praise the Lord. And I look around. I don't see any old people here tonight. So you're all going to stay with us for a while. Praise God. That's true. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Father, give us utterance tonight, Lord. We asked for that and you said we could. Utterance and boldness. Father, people need to hear from you, not from me. Lord, you know what they need to hear. And Father, even though we might be preaching on a certain topic, there's always things that can be said and that will be said that will touch hearts and change lives. So Father, we're so grateful for the utterance that we'll receive. Never do we just show up and have a ho-hum, mundane service. No, Father, we're here to be changed. And Father, I believe that everybody here echoes the sentiment that I have, that it's like I just look forward, Father, to coming here, to seeing what you're going to do next. Father, you are a show-and-tell type of God. Lord, you said to taste and see that you are good. Well, I expect us to taste and see every time we show up. Every time we show up to get something from you, Father, that we needed, that we didn't have before. And so we'll give you the praise and the glory for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm not going to read down through all these. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." So God, right off the bat, is telling us about these spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant, but obviously people were ignorant, or Paul wouldn't say that or have to teach on it. And so we're learning about the spiritual gifts. We've only got through one of them so far, the word of knowledge. And we know that there's 9 of them. And we're going to move on to the word of wisdom. It says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then it goes on to say the different gifts of the Spirit. And there's 9 of them. They're broken down into the utterance gifts, the power gifts, and the revelation gifts. And so we're talking about the word of wisdom. We looked at the word of knowledge. And of course, the word of knowledge was a supernatural knowledge. It's not natural book knowledge. It's not just, man, that person's smart. They must have the gift of knowledge. No. The gift of the word of knowledge is when God supernaturally tells you something about a past or present situation that you wouldn't have known about unless he shared it to you. And so we talked about that, showed you some things in the word, told you some examples, and maybe putting labels on these things are kind of like putting handles on a mattress. You ever tried to move a mattress without a handle? Oh, it's hard. But if you put a handle on a mattress, when they have a little fabric that you can grab onto, it makes it a little bit easier. And maybe once you realize what these things are and explain the Bible, maybe you see in your past, wow, I've been used that way as a Christian, but I just didn't know what it was. I thought maybe I was just really smart. But, well, you are, but God's, some of those things that you can't get by going to get a degree, some supernatural things, and so that's what it's about. So we're going to look at the word of wisdom here. But before we do go forward, I want to remind you that the Bible says in the 31st verse of this chapter, and then the beginning of the next chapter, in chapter 14 actually, that we ought to covet and desire these things. And I know we've taken a little bit of break, and as we discuss these, I hope that it whets your appetite for them, and you desire these things and hunger for these things. You know, we've seen them manifest in our services through healings and words and different things like that. We want more of those things. Because the Bible says when somebody comes into our assembly and the secrets of their heart are made manifest, which would happen through either the word, all these supernatural gifts can happen in the preaching too. Don't miss that. When God says something supernatural about your life that only maybe you and Him would know, but He says it through the pastor, that's supernatural. Or it can come through the laying on of hands or ministry, different ways like that. But imagine a sinner coming in off the street, or a Christian that's maybe backslid looking for a church, and the preaching and the message is strictly what they need, or God calls out something in their life. That's what we need, because the Bible says when that happens, they'll fall on their face and worship God, and we'll say, He's real. He's real, you know. God never expected us to believe Him without the signs. Amen. He said that He would confirm His word with signs following. And you know, if we're just out there trying to get His word confirmed with just eloquent speaking and just, I don't know, manipulation or twisting people's arms, that's not going to work. But I'll tell you what, when you have power flowing in your life through love and through miracle signs and wonders, and God giving you words of wisdom about a coworker or someone in your family, or words of knowledge and different things, prophecy, you're speaking to them with exhortation, edification, and comfort, it's ministering to them, that's what's going to hook people.
Yes. Amen.
That's what's going to hook people. I told you that I got hooked on this supernatural business when the supernatural affected me in that service where I got called out, and Kevin Durant didn't even lay hands on me, but he told me, "You want more of God?" And he must have been either having a telescope into my bedroom or wiretapped my room, or God told him that's what I was saying the night before. Well, I don't think he's that creepy, so I'm going to guess that it was God that told him, but I just cried out to God with all my heart because I was seeing things supernaturally. It was just, for lack of a better word, wigging my mind out. I was, what is going on here? Because I'd never been around it and experienced it. I just cried out, "Lord, I want more of You. If this is You, I want more of You, I want more of You." And He called me out in a service and said, "Hey, you want more of God, don't you?" Out of the whole church, He called me out. Well, that was not only a taste of the supernatural of the word of knowledge, but also I got knocked on my can. I felt the power of God, felt it, knocked me backwards, praise God. So that stuff will hook a person. And I haven't looked back, and I've craved and desired the supernatural ever since. And so I hope that you're desiring these things every day. You know, it's interesting with Caleb, mostly Caleb, you know, because Abby, everything is Abby's. Whether you know it or not, everything is hers. She knows it. And it doesn't matter. Everything's mine. And so we don't even know what the kid really wants in life, because she wants it all. I guess she's got high taste. But Caleb, you know, as he's getting older, you can pinpoint certain things when it's his birthday or Christmas by what he asks for over and over again. It lets us know there's a strong desire by his coming to us continually. We know that's what he really wants, that he wants that bad. You know, he might be in the mall and see something like, "Dad, I want that. Can I get that?" Or see a commercial. And that would be the only time we ever heard it, you know. And well, I question really how much he really wants that. But, you know, like when he wanted his Bissell Power Forced bag vacuum, it was every day. It was every day we'd go to the store. We'd go to the store sometime just to go look at the vacuum. And that would be the one. And that'd be the one he'd say, "I'm believing God for." And he'd say that over and over. So we knew that's what he wanted. Well, it's the same with God. If we just come to him a couple times, "You know, Lord, it sure would be nice to see you move in the service." That really doesn't display hunger. And God goes where hunger takes him.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness."
Amen.
For they, who's they? The hungry ones. The thirsty ones. They'll be filled and satisfied. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants to know that you're interested in him. He doesn't want to go somewhere that people don't want him. And I'll tell you, when we have gifts of the Spirit and the power of God, that's him moving in a service. The Holy Ghost is not some separate entity of the Trinity. No, he is God. And when he moves in our services through laughter, joy, or miracle signs and wonders, that's God displaying himself. And most churches don't want that. I know churches that had Dr. Dufresne in. In fact, I was in a church that is huge, that has totally gone away from the Word, gone to seeker sensitive. What's seeker sensitive? Seeker sensitive is preaching fluff to people, never preaching hardcoreness about holiness, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not telling people what to do with their money, not talking about love walk, basically just coming up with a big pile of fluff because then it will not step on people's toes. And those places tend to fill up really fast because it's nice for people to hear that in their mind and flesh. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't always help us. I don't know if you know, but fluff is not good for you. It will rot your teeth out, raise your sugar, it'll do all sorts of... It might taste good, but it's not good for you. That's the same way. And I know places. I was in one where a Dr. Dufresne was there. And Dr. Dufresne, actually, this church had hundreds of people. And Dr. Dufresne, I was there with Pastor Tim. This was before we were in the ministry, but we knew we were called to the ministry. Him and I were sitting there. This is the first time we were ever in a Dr. Dufresne service outside of family church. And I think we'd been to one of his services in Fredonia. And so we went because Pastor Michael was going, and we drove down there. And we're in a service of hundreds of people. And Dr. Dufresne comes over, and we're not sitting anywhere near the front. We're somewhere towards three-fourths of the way in the back of hundreds of people, this church is. He comes over to us, and we're not even sitting on the end. He walks down the aisle to us, never met us in his life, didn't know a thing about us or a calling. And I'm not kidding you. He takes his hand, cups his hand, smacks us both in the back of the head, knocked us right down. And he said, "Now preach the word! Preach the word!" He knew. The Spirit of God. Now that was a move of the Holy Ghost. That was a revelation not only of the word of knowledge of something that is a calling, but for future things. And a church of hundreds came over to two future pastors and smacked them on the head, nobody else, and said, "Preach the word. Preach the word." That's awesome. Well, I've seen that church actually make the statement, "We don't want Dr. Dufresne." Well, he's gone to be to heaven now, but before he went to be to heaven, they stopped having him in. They said, "We don't," and this is what the pastor said, "We don't want that Holy Ghost business anymore." Well, that Holy Ghost business confirmed some things in my heart that night and made me excited about going forward with what God had me called me to do. And they don't have the honor for God anymore. And so Brother Hagin, he'd be in a meeting, and he said he'd have 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation in his services. He'd go to someplace else the week after and have none of them. And so he began to fast and pray to think, "What am I doing wrong, Lord? What am I doing wrong? As far as I know, I'm not doing anything different when I go to one meeting to the next." He said, "Here in this last church I was in, I had 7 out of the 9 manifest in our services, and people were so blessed." See, because it's God's will to do those things. Amen. So you should expect to see them. He was right to expect them. And he goes into another church and doesn't have any. And he's seeking God, and the Lord says, "It's not you, it's the people." God says, "I'm willing. I know you're hungry for it, but two-thirds is not good. Listen, if you're going to make me an apple pie, I want the whole thing. Don't come to me with two-thirds. Where'd that other third go? Who'd you give that to? Give me the whole thing." Hint, hint. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. Kind of. I'm not sure if I'm really kidding or not. Just be loud. Do what you want. Praise God. I mean, I wouldn't turn it down. Well, maybe if it has a chunk of it gone, I might have. What in the world? No. But two-thirds of the people, two-thirds of the equation, there's three parts of the God showing up pie. God has to do his part, the minister has to do his part, the people have to do their part. We see that in Mark 6, where Jesus couldn't do any mighty work in his own hometown. He didn't change.
That's right.
God didn't change, but the people that he ministered to, they were different than the places he had just come from. So let's be a church that makes sure we're designing these every day. It doesn't take long to say, "Father, we need it. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. We need the gifts of the Spirit, Father. You said you'd do it, now do it, Lord." He said if we'd ask him, he said, "In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." He said, "Ask ye the Lord for the rain in the time of the latter rain." Well, the rain is the Spirit of God, and we are in the latter days, folks. So he told us to ask him for it. Well, we better ask him for it then. You have not because you ask not. So let's crave these things. Let's desire these things. They're awesome. And I believe today after we look at a little bit of the Word of Wisdom, we'll see, yeah, we need this kind of stuff in our service. But the Word of Wisdom is a little different than the Word of Knowledge. The Word of Wisdom isn't natural wisdom. It's nothing that you can gain by life experience. You know, maybe somebody that's a grandpa has more wisdom than somebody that's a teenager. We're not talking about that kind of wisdom. We're talking about supernatural wisdom. And if you look at the cases in the Word of God concerning this gift, it deals with God supernaturally revealing of the future. And it has a lot to do, one of the exciting things about this gift is it has a lot to do with the revealing of God's plans and God's will in the matter, in things. And that's exciting.
Amen.
Like when Dr. Dufresne hits me on the head and I go down in the seat and he says, preach the word. Well, that's a supernatural thing about the future, but that's a revelation of God's will for myself, but also the church that I would go to start and be associated with the people. That's a word of wisdom. So praise God. The word of wisdom is God supernaturally revealing the future. And it's not, again, not natural wisdom. Solomon was gifted with wisdom in the sense that he could operate in the wisdom that he was given anytime he wanted to. Anytime he wanted to. But it wasn't a supernatural revealing of the future. He just was a very wise man in his decisions and stuff. And that was a gift from God, but that's not what we're talking about here. He could turn that on and off anytime he wanted to. It's kind of like the word of knowledge. Somebody that has a lot of knowledge, they can use that knowledge anytime they want to. But they can't supernaturally just know something about somebody's past or present just because they're smart. So, and again, we have to look at it that it's not God revealing all of the future. It's called a word of wisdom, or a fragment of something about the future. It's not God revealing everything. It's kind of like when I go out with my pastor, I'll have a list of questions, of things for my life, the ministry, things that have come up about the Word of God that I want to talk to him about, and I will ask him because he's my pastor. He knows more than I do. And he'll tell me some things, and he'll give me not everything he knows, but he'll give me a fragment of what he knows. It's the same way with the Word of Wisdom. God gives us a little bit about the future. So let's go to Acts chapter 9, and let's start to look at this. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. And I want you to see here that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge oftentimes work together and go hand in hand. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision." So Ananias is now having a vision. "Ananias," he said, "behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying." Now, Ananias didn't know that there was a man in this house praying, but God now supernaturally showed him by the word of knowledge something about a present situation. So there's a man named Saul of Tarsus. He's praying. That's the word of knowledge in operation. And he says, "And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." And Ananias, and so now, if you missed it there, that was the word of wisdom. So the word of knowledge, he said, this is what Saul's doing. And the word of wisdom is, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go there and you're going to lay hands on him, something about the future of what's going to happen. Praise God. And it says, "As seen in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him." That was a future event. That's wisdom, word of wisdom, "that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on their name. But the Lord said to him, go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me." Here we go. Here comes word of wisdom. "To bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel." Actually, it's both. The word of knowledge was, he's chosen. That's a present thing. And he's going to do this. That's a word of wisdom right there. Kind of like Dr. Dufresne saying, preach the word. Thank you, sir. "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Praise God. So we see there that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge working together. And I've seen that in my life a little bit, where I've told this story before, that about the youth group girl, that the Lord showed me that there would be somebody in the service that had a hearing problem. And then when I got in the service, I knew it was for that service. And the Lord said to me, there's somebody with a hearing problem. Well, in that vision that I had of doing that, I also saw future events of me sticking my fingers in her ear and saying, come out in the name of Jesus. Well, that is a word of wisdom. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge, working hand in hand. You want to know something cool? I was at the mall and getting some presents wrapped, because you don't want to see when I wrap them. It's downright embarrassing. You'll get your present and think, he didn't give a lick about me. He didn't put any thought, but that's just not true. I just don't know how to do it. As much as I try and fold and cut straight, it doesn't come out right. And there was a girl there. One of the ladies was from Family Church. They worked for a certain, I believe it's a heritage group in Jamestown, and they do a fundraiser by coming and wrapping presents. And one of the girls there was from Jamestown. She said, "Are you Pastor Mike?" I said, "I am. You look really familiar." And we talked for a second. But then the other girl there, she looked familiar, and I said, "Aren't you Brittany?" And her name tag, you know. Should have told me that. But I thought, aren't you Brittany? And she said, "Yeah, I came to your youth group service." She goes, "I'm the one that got healed and got filled with the Holy Ghost." I forgot to mention that. After she got that, she got filled with the Holy Ghost right on the spot as well. And I was talking to her, like, "How are you doing?" She's like, "I'm doing great. Life is wonderful. And I've got a job and graduated college and all this." It was awesome. It was awesome to see her, and she got taller. I think everybody gets taller around me or something. Because I don't remember having to stand on my toes to do that. But anyways, so that was awesome. Got to run into her. But that was the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge happening together. Go with me to Genesis 37 and verse 5. Now, we're not going to completely exhaust this, but Genesis 37. When you look at really, and again, without, I'm just going to kind of just make this statement without really teaching it too much, just for time's sake. But a lot of what we call in the Old Testament, that because we know what the New Testament spiritual gift of prophecy is. Well, I've mentioned it, and we'll look at it in more detail when we get to that one. It's not the telling of the future. It is exhortation, edification, and speaking comfort. It'd be like if someone came through the doors here and was down and out, and you kind of picked up on that, and you started to speak to them, and things were just coming out of you that was ministering to them. That's prophecy. And really what we call a lot of the prophecy in the Old Testament, because we just assume that the word prophecy goes with the telling of the future, it really isn't prophecy in its main form. It's really the word of wisdom in operation. Now, there can be the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge in prophecy, but when it's the foretelling of the future, it's not prophecy, so to speak. It is the word of wisdom. So that's just a little side note for you. And Genesis 37 and verse 5 says this. It says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren." Remember, the Bible said there's differences of administrations, diversities of gifts, differences of how they're administrated. Well, we're seeing here now, and you're going to see that we saw in the last place we looked that it happened through a vision. Well, now we're going to see that it's going to happen through a dream, the word of wisdom. And it said that, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." And I will cover this in a second. But ladies and gentlemen, the mark of a spiritual person is to not run their mouth every single time God shows them something. It gets people into trouble. And people have had to learn the hard way. And Joseph here had to learn the hard way. God showed him a dream, but Joseph, if he did anything wrong in life, it was that he was a blabbermouth. Right? What does the Bible say in Proverbs 17:28? Well, I'm going to just flip over there real quick, and I'm going to read that for you. It says, "Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted as wise." I'll tell you what, I've learned. When I get around smart people, I know that I'm not one of them, but I've learned the trick. If I just stay quiet, no one's going to know how dumb I really am. Praise God. I'll tell you, even a fool, when they keep quiet, will be counted as wise. It's good to hold your tongue. And Joseph here, he dreamed a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him even more. Why? Because this is what the dream was in verse 6 of Genesis 37. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed." He couldn't wait to tell them. Oh, he couldn't wait to tell them. "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf," oh, he's high and mighty here, "it also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood around and made obeisance to my sheaf." He's basically saying, "My sheaf rose up, yours bowed down to mine." And he's the little brother. Well, I'll tell you what, ain't no big brother in the world that's going to put up with that garbage. You got time for a thumping, Joseph. And he got thumped all the way into the pit. They were going to kill him until one brother said, "Hey, let's not kill him, let's just throw him in." keep quiet. And his brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. He didn't learn. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to... Oh, man! He is really just... Well, what was he talking about? He was telling them truth. Because in the future, he was going to be prime minister of Egypt, and he was going to be over his brothers in the future. What God did through a dream was revealed something about the future, but Joseph should have kept his mouth shut. I was used, I've only been used in dreams very few times. And when you are used in a dream, you know, we don't seek dreams because how many of you know the devil can accommodate people? There really is, I don't mean this to tell you this to make you into fear, but there is a fine line at times between the devil's voice and God's voice because he is so deceptive. And the devil operates in the supernatural. That's why it's important to follow what our spirits are saying and line everything up with the Word of God. Amen. And so I've only been used a few times, but when I've been used, I knew it was God. And well, I shouldn't say usually, but when you have a dream that's from heaven, you won't question, was that God? You will, because God's not trying to confuse you. You will wake up knowing that was the Lord. And of course, the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, right? Dreams, visions. These are biblical things that happen within our midst as the Spirit wills. And I had a dream one time where I saw people in the church do something financially. And I saw it, and I knew that in my spirit, it by just the supernatural knowing in the dream that it was significant and that it would bless the church, but also what it would do for their lives. I saw that happening in my spirit. Well, I made sure to say nothing about a dream to anybody, not my wife, not anybody, especially not the people that I had the dream about, because the last thing you want to do is ever be a magnet on somebody's compass. You never want to lead anybody into certain things. And so I stayed very vague on some things when the Lord did have me to talk about certain things, but never mentioned what the dream entailed. Or I actually even went back and listened to when it happened online, and I didn't even say anything about it being a dream. I just said something about supernatural. Well, that's because I've learned from Joseph. See, it's good to learn from people that go before. And I've taken my own lumps in life by opening my big mouth. Have you ever opened your mouth and you just wish you could just have it back? I mean, we all should have our hands up, toes in, feet in. We've all done it, right? Because, man, once you get it out there, oh, it's out there, and then that's the fallout. And so I've learned the hard way. But when it comes to the things of God, it's important. You know, the Bible said that Mary pondered those things in her heart. Here an angel visited her and said, you are going to give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God. I mean, there'd be a temptation to run out of there and tell everybody what in the world just happened. The fact that you saw an angel, the fact that God revealed that to you, but the Bible says that she pondered those things in her heart. Hallelujah. And God was pleased with that. Because sometimes who it has to deal with isn't ready for the hearing of that. And God could be showing you something for you to pray about it. And you're going to see in a second, maybe to change something, to encourage people, whatever. And maybe the people aren't ready to hear that. And if God reveals to you something, you only tell them if the Spirit of God tells you to say something. Most of the things that the Lord shows me, I don't say a word to anybody about them. The things that He's placed in my heart about ministry, I don't say a word about them. If He tells me to reveal them, I will. Why? Because it's smart to stay quiet. Amen. Smart to stay quiet. So I had that dream about a word of wisdom about that happening, and praise God, it came to pass. Glory to God. And I'm excited to see the fulfillment of that dream, because what I saw in my spirit was very specific, and already a chunk of it has come to pass. But now I saw more in that dream, and I am excited to see the rest of it play out. Amen. He is faithful. Glory to God. He is faithful. And so we want to make sure we're keeping our mouth shut. And I want to show you that a word of wisdom, because why does God give us these things? He doesn't give them to us just so He can show off. He gives them to us for a purpose. He gives them to us for a purpose. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. And again, this is going to be the only night I'm going to talk about the word of wisdom. There's so much more that we can talk about, but I want to get through this series and get at least our feet wet in all these gifts. And so I'm by no means exhausting this subject, just kind of giving you a little bit of a taste of what it is. But 2 Kings chapter 20, let's see here. I might be in the wrong place, which that wouldn't surprise me. Praise God. Let me see here. Oh, let's see here. We'll get there. Okay, it was right. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. Oh, well, 20 is not a 2 and a 1. I forgot that. See what I mean? Just stay quiet, Mike. See, you didn't need to know that I did that, but I had to open my big mouth. And now it's just confirming everything I've told you about myself. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord," now get this, "set your house in order, for you're going to die and not live." What is that? That's a word of wisdom. That's a future event telling him, you better get things in order. You're going away. You're going away. And then, I'll tell you, sometimes these things wake us up. Amen. They do. Sometimes these things wake us up. See, God, when He does, I've had Him do this where... And I'll explain one situation that happened years ago without getting into too much detail about it. But He'll at times reveal things about people in the church or people that I'm close with, maybe with at other churches, about maybe things that they're mixed up in that I didn't even know that they were, but revealed it to me. Well, that's not God showing that because He wants to make that person feel better. That's not God showing that because He wants you to know it and to think different about them. There's a reason God's showing you that, and then you got to find out what the reason is. Is it to pray? Is it to encourage? Is it to correct? Is it to talk to their path? Whatever it would be, God would lead you. But God has a reason for these things, but these things will wake a person up. If they should wake a person up. And he said, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed, and the Lord said, I beseech you, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord God, the God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto your days 15 years. So we can see that the supernatural working of the word of wisdom showed what was going to happen. See, God is the future, God is the past. He's been there, and He knows how things are going to turn out if people don't do something about it. I think that would be a tough position to be God. You already know how it's what's going to happen. That, I mean, that's got to be a hard thing, and He can't manipulate situations. He needs people to pray. But God saw that if something doesn't change with Hezekiah, his outcome is going to be death. But there was room for change, notice that. That Hezekiah, when he finally was going to die, he beseeched God. He pleaded with God for mercy. And God, through the prophet Isaiah, through a word of wisdom, said, you'll have another 15 years. I think that's comforting when you're on your way out. When you're ready to check out, He said, I'll give you 15 more. But see, that's the thing I want to show you is that when God gives you these, because I'm believing God's going to move in your life this way. Don't ever, ever think, well, this is good for the pastor, and this is good for Pastor Michael and the conferences that they could. No, no, no. These are given to all that we all would profit. There are places that you go shopping at, that you have family get-togethers, that you work, where people need to see the power of God. It can't just happen in these walls, ladies and gentlemen. You have to be willing to be used by God, but you have to put your faith on it. Again, I don't go around desiring, oh, Father, use me in the word of wisdom. Use me. No, I don't do it that way. I say, Father, use this church in that way. Father, may the gifts of the Spirit be in the midst of our church. If it's through me, so be it. If it's through the people outside of these walls, so be it. If it's through someone coming through the door and God giving you prophecy to encourage people, so be it. Praise God. We are members of the body of Christ. This is not a one-man show. This is not a one-woman show. This is about all of us doing our part. There are places that I'll never get to in your life. There are places that I'll never go. I'll never be able to preach. I'll never be able to talk to. There might be a situation where you're in line with somebody, where God reveals something to you. Well, I'm not there to preach to that person, but God gave you something. Or God gives you something with your family or at work. Praise God. So be desiring these things that for everybody. And if you get used that way, the glory goes to God. Amen. And I have found that the more the glory goes to God, the more you'll be used in these things. Amen. A lot of people will take credit for these things and they'll say, I had to correct somebody not too long ago. They said, I have the gift of discernment. No, you do not have the gift of discernment. There's no such thing. The discerning of spirits is a gift, and that happens as the Lord wills. You can't see now what people have thought is they have a knack for kind of being able to read people. I think that's the gift of discernment. No, you just have a knack for that. Like the discerning of spirits is when God lets you supernaturally see in the spirit. You can't turn that on and off. If you could, you could just see Jesus anytime, because he's here tonight. Every one of you has your angel here with you. Every one of us has been assigned a guardian angel. And I hope there are no demons in here tonight. You better not be bringing any of those things in here. But I'll tell you what, if we were to go outside and look into the houses of people, you'd see things attached to their lives. If you could look into the spirit realm. Well, you can't turn that on and off. That's through God. And people will get used these ways and they'll think, I have the gift of the word of wisdom. No, you don't. If you did, you could tell the future all the time, but you can't. That's why the Bible says it's as the Spirit wills. So make sure that hunger for these things, but if God does use you, pass it on to Him. Don't even be tempted to get a big head because you didn't do anything. He gave it to you, right? That's why I'm just so quick. And I understand. I'm so thankful that people are encouraging. Good word, Pastor. And that's good to do that to your pastor and to encourage him. But let's always remember where it's coming from. It's coming from God. You know, we thank people for their faithfulness and things like that, but it ultimately comes from Him. And I'm just so careful when healings or word of wisdom. I didn't know how to do that. I don't have anything special in my hands. There's nothing, no healing power here or anything. It's just, if God does it, it's His credit. Amen. And so we see that it can be used to change things. So when you get used like this, that's what I was getting at. I believe that we're going to be used that way in this church, different people and different manifestations. Find out, what did you show me that for, God? And I'll tell you why He didn't show it to you, so that you could blab it to everybody in the church. So that you could get on the phone and tell every single person. There's things that I don't even tell Courtney, only unless God allows me to. It just stays between me and my Father. Unless God says, yeah, you can share that, or yeah, that's something that needs to be known. And so you gotta find out. And again, the more you give Him the credit and the more you're skillful and mature in using these, and you can be trusted. What does the Bible say? He that is faithful and that which is least will be faithful in much. God is not going to increase you in large things if you can't even be faithful with something small. You get something revealed to you, and instantly you go tell everybody about what's been revealed to you. Well, that's a good way to be disqualified from getting used in the future. God needs vessels that He can trust. God needs people that He knows I can tell them something, because they're going to inquire of me, what do I do with this knowledge, God? What do I do with this information? Well, I want you to pray about it, or I want you to give them money, or I want you to encourage them, or I want you to whatever God would fill in the blank. But remember, He always does it for a purpose. It's not just to say, hey, you know how awesome I am? I'm God. I just want to show you something you didn't know. No, it's for a purpose. You got to find out what that purpose is. It might mean you might have to pray about it. Lord, you showed me that. What is that, Father? What is that? Let me encourage you. When God puts me on your heart at nighttime, or all of a sudden Pastor Mike is just strong in there, you don't need to call me and ask me what's going on, because there might be something I don't even know what's going on. There might be things in the future or schemes behind the scenes that aren't even made aware to my knowledge. And you might call me and say, Pastor, is everything okay? You're strong on the heart. And I might say, tell you, everything's great, because it is. But there's something coming down the road. So if God puts somebody on your heart, gives you a face, someone strong in there, it's in your heart, or wakes you up in the middle of the night, your cue is pray. Amen. Go right to pray. Father, why are you showing me them? Why are they strong in my heart? Why? Because it might be a sweet thing to call that person and ask them, but there's times people have done that, and I don't know, just pray for me, because I can tell you the truth, everything's going great. But pray, 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 pray. Amen? Hallelujah. And find out. But being able to change things, just real quick with this, and I'll finish up here. I told you the story. Remember my cousin climbing that mountain, and there was cloudy, and it was foggy, and she couldn't see that she was almost at the top. One last lunge through those clouds, and she'd be at the top. And she'd been struggling to get there, and the Spirit of God, when I was on a lawnmower, gave me this vision, told me it was a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge that she's really struggling, but the word of wisdom was she's about to quit. And the Lord showed me what her life would look like if she quit. So I knew right then and there, call her, reveal this to her, and tell her, and she started crying. It changed her life, praise God. But what's interesting about that is the Lord showed me what was going to happen, which was she was getting ready to quit, come back down that mountain in her whole life, because she was about to have breakthrough that the devil had been fighting and fighting and fighting her. That's why it was like the effort and the exertion of climbing a mountain. And of course, if you climb a mountain at the top, you're going to be the most tired, because you've used all that energy to get up there. And she just didn't know that one last lunge would be breakthrough, and all it would just open up. You know, when you're climbing the mountain, you can only see certain things, but when you break through the clouds and you get the peak, you can see it all. And she was about to get there. About to get there, and so she's about to quit. And the Lord told me if she did, her life's going to take a turn that she's not going to want. And I said, do not quit, do not quit. You are almost there. You are at the end of this test and trial. Keep pressing through. And she did, praise God. Now she's married with two babies, a husband who's got a business that's flourishing and thriving and prospering. He was telling me about the other day, and I'm thinking, my God, what would have happened? And she'd have turned away. God is so good. Amen. See, now when you, I'm just going to just be completely honest. There's a temptation when you get used that way for it to go to your head. I don't let it, because I know how dumb that would be, because I can't produce a dream. But I'm just going to tell you, be careful with those things. God used you. You didn't do anything yourself. I'm just riding on a lawnmower. I can't drum that up myself. Nothing I can do. But there's always the flesh that you have to deal with, and you just put that down and say, oh no, I'm not taking any credit for that. And then there was a situation where I was meeting with a couple years ago, and they were having a tough time, and one of them was not doing what they should be doing, and they refused to stop, and the Lord gave me a vision about them and their children. And I saw in a vision their children on a train going up, and there was Y in the tracks. I mean, I saw this like I was watching a movie. And, that's a vision, an open vision like that. And it was like I was watching a screen. And I saw the Y in the tracks, and I can still see it so vividly to this day when I think about it. In one direction, they could go into a land that was full of lush flowers. It was green. The sky was so crisp blue. The colors of the grass. It was life springing up. And one of the children looked back on that train and just filled with joy and jubilation. And I knew in my spirit that this was the Lord showing me what the outcome was going to be dependent upon what the parents do. See, the devil will go for our children. The kids are the vulnerable ones. He doesn't have the faith level yet. Abby doesn't have the faith level yet. We are the gatekeepers of our children. And so then I saw the other one. And it was like something out of a Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas type movie. It was dark. Everything looked like it was dead. There was no sun. It was cloudy. The sky was dark. And one of the children looked back and just utter despair on their face. And every time I tell that story, chills shoot up and down my body, because I saw the child's face, and the parents did not do what the Word of God said. They chose to continue to do wrong, and that train took the wrong way, and the despair and the things that I saw for that child came to pass. And it breaks my heart. I'm not joyful about that. I don't get excited about that. It makes me so sad to see it. But there was God showing what was going to happen if it didn't change, but showing that there's opportunities for things to be spared. There's opportunities for blessing. He's so merciful. And I tried and I tried and I pleaded and I told them and it just didn't. And so God is merciful, so He tells us these things. It can also be used in tongues and interpretation. I had Dr. Dufresne many times, the Durants many times, Pastor Webb, Brother Chris D'Amico, call me up, pray tongues over me, speak in English about something that hasn't come to pass. A lot of times a word of knowledge, but a lot of times a word of wisdom that about future things. Well, I'll tell you what, when that's spoken, if that bears witness with my spirit, because we don't go by prophecies and different things. We go by the Word and by the Holy Ghost. But Paul did tell Timothy, you wage a good warfare by the prophecies that were spoken over you. Those things are like anchors to our souls. And so when I get something about my future and I have a good sense in my spirit that, wow, that's God talking to me right there. It's important that you understand as the receiver, when you get that, hook your faith up to it. Hook your faith up to it. Because I've had situations where God has said something to me through them, through the Word of Wisdom, and it's taken almost a year or 2 years for it to come to pass, but it came to pass. And I made sure, because you can walk out of there and just expect it. No, you got to get your faith on it.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. If you have a good sense when it's spoken in your spirit, that lines up with what your heart's saying. Put your faith on that and go forward with it. Praise God. And just put it on the shelf. You don't have to sit there and every day sit there and wonder why it's not happening. If it was God, it'll come to pass.
Amen.
It'll come. In fact, He might be showing you to get your faith on that. He might be telling you something about your finances because you need your faith to get you to that place financially. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the word of wisdom, we crave it, right?
Yeah.
We desire it. We want that. I mean, how awesome to know the future before it happens.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, and it helps us. And so be desiring, be craving these things. Be seeking God for these things. If I could ask the church to do this every day, please. I don't care what that means. If you have to put a 3x5 card on your mirror, so when you brush your teeth or whatever you do every single day, go to the fridge, go to the coffee pot, so that it reminds you, cry out to Him. I mean, it just takes you go to do your coffee. It takes 10 seconds. Father, we want the gifts of the Spirit. Pour out your Spirit in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. May we see these things in manifestation. That's crying out to Him. Because when He says to me, Dad, I want that, how long did that take? It only took a short time, but it let me know. He really wants that.
Yeah.
Even though He might have said it 5-6 times a day, when He said it 5-6 times a day, it was only 10 seconds long. Hey, Dad, I really want that. How long was that? But I knew by Him doing that. So God knows when we say, Lord, we want these things. We say them a couple times a day. Lord, we want these things. We're letting the Father know. We're hungry.
Amen.
We're hungry. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word tonight. We're blessed. We're so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. Thank You for Your precious Word tonight. Father, we desire and crave these things. So, Father, we're thankful that they will happen in our church. Father, use the people. Use the people here, Father, in these ways. Reveal things unto them. Father, not only about their own lives, but those people that they come in contact with. Father, those people that don't have a church, that don't have a pastor, that, Father, need to be touched by You, that need to be have an experience supernatural with You that sets You apart from Muhammad and Buddha and different things, Father. They need to see the power to know that You're real. And so, Father, use us in these ways, and Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory. We'll give You the credit. And if there's anyone listening by live stream that is tuned in or in the future by archives, and you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, basically you're saying, I want to go to heaven. I want to be a part of all this. Well, the first step is accepting Jesus. And the Bible says the only way you can do that is by asking Him into your heart, by believing that He died and rose again and asking Him to come into your heart. It doesn't matter how good or bad you've been or how much church or how little church you've been to. If you accept Jesus, the Bible says you're saved. And so if you want to receive Him, just simply say, Lord, I believe You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. Come into my heart. And then get into a Bible-teaching church and start to learn about all that God has for you. Father, we love You tonight. We glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pray for a few minutes. Just seek God and see what He has for us. If you need to excuse yourself, please do so quietly. If you need to step out for a second, just come back in and hook up with us. But let's just enter in for a few minutes and seek Him tonight. Father, we love You. Just begin to love on Him. You know, I really believe that we ought to always enter in. You know, Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, "Thy Father, hallowed be thy name." The first thing he did, he didn't say that we have to say that every day, but the first thing he was showing us in what manner to pray was to come in with praise. Come in with praise. Hallowed be thy name. We bless you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We magnify. Begin to worship him. Begin to worship him. Begin to worship him. Begin to stretch yourself in this area. Say, I don't want people to hear my voice. Well, God wants to hear you. We can't. How terrible would it be if somebody blessed you, and how you blessed somebody, and they just assumed that you knew they were thankful? You'd be wondering, why didn't they thank me? Didn't they like it? Or, well, it's the same with God. Many people just assume God knows my heart. God knows my thoughts. Well, yeah, but God likes to hear it. Praise God. God, I know Caleb loves me, but I like to hear it. Praise God. So we love you tonight, Father. We bless you with our lips. We honor you with our words. We affectionately tell you that you're special to us. We bless you, Master. We glorify you, Master. We honor you and love you tonight. We bless the wonderful name of Jesus. We glorify the wonderful name of Jesus. And Father, I praise you for what you're doing in our midst. And Father, even as I said that, you gave me direction of what we're to pray for tonight. Before we get to that, Lord, I want to just release our faith in these areas. Father, you said in your word that in the last days, you'd pour out your spirit. Father, you said that we should ask you. So right now, corporately, we ask you, send the rain. Send the rain, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Father, we want it for the whole world. But Father, we're honing in on the areas that we have the most influence in. So pour out your spirit in these places, Father. Every man, woman, and child saturated with your presence. Hearts turning to you for the first time. Hearts turning back to you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You said you'd work with us, confirming your word with signs following. So, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Father, we desire and crave the nine gifts of the Spirit, that we would profit, Father, that people would see that you're real, Lord. You told us that we can taste and see that you're good. Well, Father, that's how we're going to taste and see, is by having experiences with you. So thank you for increased manifestations in 2016. We thank you for gifts of the Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles, infallible proofs, undeniable evidence that you are real. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it, Father. We praise you, Father. And as I was beginning to pray, the Spirit of God on the inside of me prompted me that we need to pray for the election again. Because the Bible says that we need to pray for things like that so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. There's a lot riding on this election. Our country is at a crossroads. It's going to go one of two directions. It's going to get a whole lot worse, or it's going to turn and get better. Well, if the church doesn't take her place in praying and taking authority over some of these things, we're not going to see the change and the betterment that we need that will have a direct result to our lives, but also the preaching and the going forth of the gospel. So, Father, right now we pray for the election in 2016. We lay aside our agendas. We lay aside how we were brought up. We lay aside any stereotypes. We lay aside race and sex. We lay aside all those. And Father, we say this, your person get in office. The one that your hand is upon, whoever that may be, Father God, we want your will. We are not Democrats, Independents, or Republicans. We are Christians first. So, Father, we want your will to be done. Your person in office, Father God. Raise that person up. Anoint that person. Give that person favor. Give that person a voice. Give that person influence. Father, I thank you. Satan, you take and keep your hands off the presidency of the United States. You take and keep your hands off of the election in 2016 here in November. You stay away from it. Angels go forth and influence and cause the right person to be in office. Father, we want your will to be done. Your will, Father. The person that's going to promote everything in life is centered around the the gospel and the going forth of the gospel. So, Father, that person which will help the gospel to flow freely, to get into people's hearts and minds and lives and bodies, Father, we pray for that person to be in office. Raise that person up. A godly man, a godly person, Father God, that is going to do your will, that is going to let the churches preach the word of God, that is going to stand for what's right, that's going to stand for what's morally right, Father God, that what's going to stand for what's biblically right, that person, Father, we pray. And so, Father, that's the best that my mind, there might be better ways, but Father, that's the best I know how to pray in English. But thank God the Spirit knows how to pray even more. The Spirit knows when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit makes intercession for the saints for us. So Holy Ghost, you're our helper. You're waiting on an assignment. We give you an assignment right now. Help us to pray out the perfect will of God for the election. Because the Bible says that you give our spirits utterance. Well, give us utterance in accordance to the perfect will of God for the upcoming election. And we are going to faithfully pray for it in our private time and as you lead us to do so in church. So Holy Ghost, help us to pray. Thank you for the utterance.